Good evening, and thank you for joining the Walt Weekly Monday Night Live. My name is Walter Latham. I'm your host, and I'm joined by Michelle Sweeney McCombs. Tonight, we have a great show in store for you. You know, we're going to talk about things that are critical to our existence, and we're really not paying a lot of attention to it. And tonight's special guest will be shedding some light on it. It'll be a learning experience for our listeners, and that is our mission right here at What the Walt Weekly Podcast. So with that said, I want to turn it over to my partner, my co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs.
Hey, thank you, Walter, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Walt Weekly Monday Night Edition celebrating Women's History Month. Thank you to our live audience for joining us. Please follow the Walt Weekly and share this podcast by clicking the share button below. The Walt Weekly is brought to you by Michelle Sweeney Skin and Hair Care. Our intro and outro music is provided by Uncle Nephew. Today's special guest is a native of Staten Island with a unique career with over 30 years, having worked in diverse business environments ranging from choreographer, performer, in the entertainment industry as a sought-after 90s hip-hop dancer, fashion producer, and management to high-end toy companies in New York City. This is a diverse background that has enabled her to appreciate, adapt, and understand an individual's specific needs to achieve desired, measurable, and specific outcomes. So, having that said, she is an incredible real estate background of 16 years, consistently at the top of her game, top producing associate broker, closing multi-million dollars in annual sales with a vast expertise in many aspects of real estate, residential, commercial, rentals, new construction, development sites, hotels, and investments, and much more in the real estate industry. She is also very, very busy as a community in the community. Yeah, extremely busy person. She's advocating for the homeless and securing permanent housing for families in need. A life committed to service as a teenager, community advocate, starting the first Urban League Youth Council on Staten Island. Her life has come in a full circle. She's honored to serve on the following board of directors in a nonprofit community that tirelessly champions the voice of those in need. Minority Women in Business Association of Staten Island, first vice chair and membership committee chair at the Community Health Action of Staten Island, which they just had a fundraiser last week, Friday, which I was ecstatic to attend, and I had an amazing time with her. They had their fundraiser. She also does fundraise development committee chair, historic Tappan Park Community Partnership Board, Richmond Family Care Center Board, for the federally qualified healthcare center, a new designation being applied for. She serves as chairwoman on the board of directors, board member of the historic and prestigious St. George Theater, all in Staten Island. She wears a lot of hats, but she also has time. She has time. She's an avid gardener with soulful roots from the Eastern Shore of Virginia.
That may be close to me.
So, you know, she has You Grow Girl, a Facebook page she created during the 2020 pandemic, which allowed her to share her lifelong passion of gardening. She's inspired thousands to start their garden, which is amazing. We started one too. She plant swaps, she garden events and day trips. It has pivoted to another business called City Bell Gardens, a 501c3 pending nonprofit with the goal to educate, inspire, empower, and create a community of cultivators, both young and old. Her mission is to place a garden on every windowsill in the world. It's a global effort to live healthier, encourage food sustainability by controlling your food source from the ground up, and how your health will thrive. Her garden is her solace and revolution. Please Walt Weekly family and audience, welcome the dynamic Dana Walker Boyd. Welcome, Dana.
Woo! Thank you.
That was
you.
A lot. You wear a lot of hats.
That sure is a lot. Wow.
And thank you for making time for us. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
well, you. We speak truth, and you have an amazing background. This is Walter and Dana Walker Boyd. Welcome to the Walt Weekly podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. And you mentioned you have Southeastern Virginia roots.
Yes. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Well, first, let me thank you both for, Michelle, thank you for making the call and reaching out to me. I am so thrilled, excited, and also overwhelmed in a good
thank
way.
You.
All in a good way. And that's because I'm really excited about the work that I have been doing my lifetime.
Yes, so, Mr. and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
And thank you. Look at our audience coming in. We have council member Camilla Hanks. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank
coming
you.
Coming in. Yeah, we have a lot of people in from North Carolina, New York City. Oh, this is broadcast live from New York City. We thank you all for joining the Walt Weekly. Everybody show some love in the chat room. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to leave for Ms. Boyd, she would definitely appreciate it. And so will we. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. Mr. Walter, you were saying?
All right. Now you're making me feel old. Yeah, Mr. Walter. Walt will be good. Yeah, thank you. I see you got some Virginia Southeastern roots. What general area, what town? These are your parents, or were you born down in Virginia?
I am a native Staten Island. I'm born and raised in New York. My father is from the Eastern Shore of Virginia, right outside of Maryland, Salisbury, Maryland, and the town, to be exact, is Exmoor, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Around the Chesapeake Bay area.
Absolutely.
All right. But I'm further south. I'm from North Carolina, northeastern North Carolina, and they're close to Roanoke, Virginia, Norfolk. So that's where I'm from. And I was born there, came up here as a kid. But anyway. Your experience is so varied. You know, that's one thing about people that come from the South, or you know, their ancestors. Well, we all, you know, with the migration, but we work many jobs until we find that one that's right. And I see that you have varied experience coming from hip hop. You are a hip hop dancer, choreographer. I mean, you got such a very rich background.
Thank you.
That tells me you're a hardworking lady.
Definitely.
I sure am. And you know what's beautiful about the work that I do and the work that I've always been able to do is that it never felt like work because it was my true passions just coming out in a most organic and natural way. And I was able to, you know, work and navigate so many different arenas, from fashion to toys to hip hop. And it all just makes me a wonderful person that I am today. And it allowed me to really explore the world and really see how culture, arts, how it's all connected. And that's one of the things that is a common denominator, you know, for all people, is our music, our culture, our arts, and our history.
Okay. Amen. That's true. That's true.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay. Well, one of the first questions I have for you, when I was thinking about this, but first, let me speak to the fact that you've been in real estate for 16 years.
Yes.
So, you know, what do you think is the most important change in the market, i.e. regulations, laws, policy, and then COVID?
Okay. So as it relates right now, what I believe and know to be that this has happened in the last 16 years, we've had I was licensed in 2005, 2008, 2009 is when we had that market crash, you know, the financial districts, the collapsing, the auto industry, and most importantly, the housing market. So that we have recovered from that. So I'm very happy and elated to see that the housing recovery has come back where at that time, there were a lot of people who were homes were underwater, and they didn't have the same value that they have today. We have since recovered from that, and the financial market crash, as well as the auto industry, is booming, and all of that is thanks to President Obama. There's also been additional protected classes under the federal laws and regulations. Right now, we have extremely low interest rates. You know, money right now and borrowing from lenders is equivalent to, you know, borrowing from an uncle, I like to say, whereas those interest rates are very low. The banks also have incentivized first-time home ownership, and the lending has definitely opened back up full speed as it relates to the initial COVID halt on the world, so to speak.
Okay.
So COVID has also changed a lot in the ways that we do our business as it relates to real estate. There's additional disclosures and documentations that need to be made, and also, sanitary protocols that also have changed this market as well.
A few months ago, the renters, some type of support that they provided to renters, you know, during COVID, yes, that expired. Yes. Is that now? Those people, what happened to that? I don't hear anything else in the news about that.
Yes. So you're referring to the ERAP, or the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. That program is actually, it has dissolved, but there are some monies available for about a little over 100,000 applicants. So there are still temporary assistance that's available. There's quite a few opportunities for people who need rental assistance. There is still money available. I'm speaking as it relates to the New York City area, but I've also done some, you know, searches in the tri-state area as it relates to New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and all of those still have a variety of rental assistance. There's one-shot deals through the HRA account. Even if you are employed, you can get a one-shot deal that will help you pay for your first month's rent, security, as well as your broker's fee. And that is set up through the HRA, Human Resources Administration. And you can also, you pay that back. So that's one of the ways in which you can, if you need additional housing rental assistance there. There's also senior citizen rent increase exemptions. There's disabilities for rent increase exemptions. City FEPS is another city organization that works with people who are under, you know, the 100% poverty rate in poverty line in New York. There's a lot of vouchers that are continuously being given. So in my opinion, and what I deal with, there is still some money available. You just have to do a little bit more in terms of research. But one Google inquiry will get you started in the right direction. It's a lot available.
Yeah, because the news made it sound like Armageddon was coming. You know, there was just all these people were going to get put out, but all of a sudden it just died out. I didn't hear any more. It's not something that's, you know, at the top of the news now.
Right. So, no, it's not. Well, the moratorium, COVID has impacted landlords, homeowners, as well as renters. So it's not just only been the impact that it's had on the renters. It's had a dire impact on homeowners and people who may have just, you know, a two-family house and they have no rent, you know, for a year or two, you know, when there may have been rental assistance out that the tenant may have not gone to get, you know. So it's a full circle problem. The courts are back to work as it relates to evictions, but those things, it's going to be a real slow opening of that. The attorneys that I work with, you know, it's not like everyone is just going to be tossed out on the street. They're really trying to mitigate those problems as well. And one of the ways is to also try to help these landlords catch up with what it is that they have not been able to do so. And that's because of lack of rent.
Right. A lot of times I don't look at the other side. You know, there's two sides to every coin. You got the renter and you got the landlord. So,
absolutely.
They both have a responsibility.
They do.
That's right. So real quick, I'm going to introduce our weekly panel member, Christopher Sweeney.
CEO of Johnny Roof's Steakhouse and recently retired New York City sanitation worker. Welcome, Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
Good evening, folks. And it's Johnny Roof's Smokehouse. You're going to get that right eventually.
Oh, my God.
Smokehouse.
You should be beaten, right?
We're not a steakhouse. Don't get Roof Chris after me.
And Chris, when we did the show Friday, did I pronounce it correctly?
You sure did.
I did?
Listen, sorry, you sure guys. Did. CEO of Johnny Roof's Smokehouse, folks. My bad. I was thinking of steak, okay? That means there you have to go. Make me sound.
You must, amazing I got catering. You covered. You
got me covered.
I got you covered. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. No complaints. Listening in? Liking what I'm hearing so far?
All right. Great. You
very distinguished. You know, a lot going on with you there, young lady.
Thank you. I'll start by saying God is good all the time.
Right, all the time.
All the time. All the
God
time.
God is good. Yes.
Yes. And I wanted to just add something to that moratorium. People, we really don't pay attention to it until it's coming up and it's ending, and then it gets all the news coverage and, you know, the hysteria that goes along with the people being put out of their homes or potentially being put out of their homes. Yes. They never speak about it until a dire situation. So it's a dire situation, but until that clock is ticking, then they give it the news coverage that it deserves. But hopefully they could come up with some really good creative. They're going to have to be creative this time around because there's a lot of people in trouble, landlords and tenants.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Right. The moratorium is definitely, I mean, it could really open up the floodgate of homelessness, but I don't believe that the municipalities and the city, state, and federal government are just going to allow it just to be, you know, a free-for-all where foreclosures are happening and evictions at the same time. So I'm hoping that there's going to be a better plan as they start to release the valve on that moratorium that's been across our entire country, the entire United States, pretty much.
Absolutely.
There have been some foreclosures happening because that moratorium was more for federally insured loans. It really wasn't the case for private lending. So there have been foreclosures. There have been evictions, not as many evictions, but there have been foreclosures that have been happening.
Yes, a lot of people were taking, they were getting a lot of relief and a lot of help, but it wasn't really stopping, you know, their payments. It was just being put on the back end. And a lot of those mortgages that are set up that way, or a lot of people that worked it out with those banks that way, as soon as this was lifted, they needed to start figuring out how they were going to pay this money back. So I'm just concerned. It's a concerning thing. And considering where we are with the homelessness now in the country, especially in New York City, I would hope it would be a miscarriage of justice if they let this fall apart.
I believe we have the right administrations in place, and we have, you know, we have a new, you know, mayor and a whole, you know, I believe 35 new city council members in New York. I think we're going to be on the road to, you know, some really strong support as it relates to landlords and tenants. And it's always been there. And if we get the act passed with President Biden, that also it has relief in there as well.
Can all you right, now I got yeah, now, yes, you're good. You're good. Thank you, Dan. I mean, I'm wondering about the future of New York City residential housing, you know, since a lot of people can now work from anywhere. So are you seeing, you're right there on the front line, you're facing the renters that want to, you know, live in Manhattan. Are you seeing a lot of that? It has picked back up. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, I believe overall, yeah, it has picked up. Was that, it has definitely picked up. I mean, the last count that I saw a couple of weeks back was that there were about 320,000 people who have left New York. And that was during the whole pandemic when it was a really, you know, it's still a hot topic button right now. You know, COVID has not left us, but it's now just being more managed. And there are, you know, the luxury market in New York is definitely bouncing back in a very strong way. The affordability of rents are starting to go up again across the board, especially in New York. Actually, you know, I've been used to having bidding wars for residences, for homes, and now we're actually having bidding wars for apartments. And that's something I've never seen before. It's a little frightening, but it is actually happening.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. I would think the opposite. You know, everybody, ever since you can work from practically anywhere, well, that's driven by what you do. You know, it's, well, let's say technology, for instance. You can work from anywhere in the country. And there was a, I was reading where there was an outflux of people from the north, from the cities down to like Kentucky and those small places like that.
Absolutely.
And that the property values there were going up.
They are. Nationwide, the values have gone up. You know, it was a big exodus from New York. You know, we're New York, we stack on top of each other. So people wanted to not have a neighbor right next door, above, below, you know, be covered on all four sides. So they went to these different states so they can be spread out, have more space. You know, you get so much more for your money, depending on what you like in a home, you know, in other states. And it also, you know, for me, I know a lot of people aren't necessarily coming back, and remote working definitely changed the game as it relates to, you know, people being employed. You know, remote work was essentially only for senior management, and they could work from home maybe one day a week. But, you know, COVID taught the world and taught employers that employees can still be extremely productive. You can hit your bottom line, and everyone can be at home, you know, in the safety of their space and still be a great employee. So I'm glad that that has happened. I, you know, for many years, I was a commuter. I took the Staten Island Ferry. There's probably a few ladies on here as well, especially Camilla Hanks. We were on that ferry for 10, 15 years straight. And to not have to spend an extra 20 hours of your 40-hour work week commuting is definitely a gift that people, that employees right now are able to receive. And I didn't have that. I mean, you can work and you can do your laundry. You can cook. You can go on. You know, some people multitask themselves out.
Right, right.
You know, the ability to be able to do that is really great.
Right,
right, right. Michelle, are there any questions from the audience?
Any questions from the audience? No questions from the audience other than Class 1 probe and undisclosed location in the Pacific. Thank you for shouting out where you're from. We have some people from all over. Thank you for shouting that out. No audience questions. We can continue.
That's something.
Yes.
Go ahead.
To the high-end luxury buildings in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So I was reading an article in Market Watch that stated that they were concerned about a year ago that those buildings wouldn't be occupied again. But what they were finding, even though many people enjoyed staying home and it was a great thing working remotely, quite a few people needed the work environment to go back to. Like it was affecting their mental health. Mm-hmm. So a lot of companies were saying that were looking to not rent any of these corporate spaces started to change course on that because they were kind of, it was kind of the being at home was affecting a lot of their workers, a lot of their key personnel. And they said that they were going to change course on that.
Yeah. So I can definitely see how that could be for sure. I mean, everyone was isolated, you know, we had to be apart from each other in every single way, aside from your initial pod. You know, so I can see that definitely being a cause for concern, big time.
Yeah, as good as it is for certain people, it's not so great for other people. Like, everybody has different reasons. Some people have kids, family, and the kids were going to school. So it was very helpful for those folks. But there are other people out there that needed that work environment to keep them going, and they didn't get it. So, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's good to keep the luxury market going, because if the luxury market kind of teeters, kind of affects, kind of snowballs into everything else.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah, Dana, how do you see the landscape in terms of commercial rentals? You know, these large corporations realizing that, okay, yeah, you know, my people can work from home and I can still achieve my objectives. Mm-hmm. And productivity can maybe be a little bit higher, actually, because, right. you know, I used to work from home. And mm-hmm. I used to, you know, literally, I would work harder from home than I did in the office.
Right.
Okay. Right. By the mere fact that I was off-site. So are you seeing a drop in commercial rentals, you know, for these large corporations?
You know, not so much. Well, yes, there has been a drop in office leasing, as well as, you know, all of the, hotels, you know, everyone was impacted by COVID. So it's just really starting to get bounced back. You know, you have a lot of brick and mortar, a lot of retail or companies that have closed. Tons of restaurants. Right now, I think we're still at the beginning of the rebuilding phase as it relates to retail, leasing, and office as well. I'm sure a lot of leases have been renegotiated from clients who may have had a 20-year lease. I have not had to do that personally.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do have commercial leases that I am writing, and we're getting clients into spaces that they want to be in. If they're starting their own business, it also started a different, you know, level of people opening up their own businesses as well. So I've seen it on both sides, with people renegotiate their lease terms, and also with people stepping out on their own and starting new businesses, and they're needing those types of shops if they're not an online e-commerce business.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have an audience question, Walter. Shelton from North Carolina, with the property value increases, is it a good time to purchase investment properties or should we wait?
So I believe that you don't wait to buy real estate. You buy real estate and then you wait. So if you have the means in which to make a purchase, I would definitely recommend sitting with your mortgage broker, banker, your lending institution, and seeing if those numbers work. And if they do work for you, I would absolutely say yes, get in the market if you can.
Thank you for that question, Shelton. I have one of my own, throwing it off. Since the pandemic happened, a lot of people started working from home. We had to figure it out, you know, mm-hmm. Not knowing what the future was holding. So a lot of people started doing, converting their sheds into offices. Do you see people working from home permanently, or do you see them going back into the commercial property? I mean, it's profitable to stay at home. That's mm-hmm. my opinion. And I know on Staten Island, you know, we have a lot of home businesses, which I have one yeah. myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't see myself going to rent a commercial property for a salon when I, you know, was able right. to figure it out myself. Do you see that business booming again as far as, you know, commercial property, especially on Staten Island, you know?
As it relates to Staten Island, I would say, you know, I'm as I'm moving around on the island, I see a lot of businesses that have reopened, as well as, you know, some that just have not survived. Overall, I think it depends on what type of business you're in, but there are commercial leases. There are people that are opening businesses. Mm-hmm. And again, people are doing a lot from home. I could definitely drive my husband crazy with all the projects that we've done right. and the properties that we own. But, mm-hmm. Overall, it's just whatever's going to really work for you and your bottom line. It needs to make sense. What right. I do know is that also some of the prices have gone down as it relates to commercial leasing, price per square foot.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah, I know the Empire Outlets, they figured it out with, with the vending we were doing there. Small businesses mm-hmm. were having vending there, and they actually allowed, because they didn't open up quite a few stores there, so they allowed one vending company, so mm-hmm. a group, that they open up a store in there. And, you know, I know it's a struggle, mm-hmm. you know, for them to do yes. that.
So that's what I was just curious about with commercial.
Yeah, Empire Outlets. I know at one point at the very beginning, they were at maybe about 65% leased out. And then, you know, the pandemic happened. I believe at this point, they're now in the restructuring mm-hmm. phase because they have not been able to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I believe it's the full global impact on people right. shopping. You know, Empire Outlets is also a tourist spot. New York has lost so many of our tourists coming into New York. So that is definitely hitting us first and foremost. If we don't have the tourism dollars, it's really going to impact commercial, hotel, and all right. hospitality. So that's going to be an impact on it as well. The more people right. that start to come and, you know, we get back to our tourism numbers close to it, I think we'll right. see a lot of things continuing to open.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
People are able to also work their business out of their home. They get their house exactly. certified and whatever licenses that you may need to mm-hmm. run your business. You know, people are pivoting into other areas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Utilize your space, your own real estate, basically.
You sure do.
You know, so I just want to touch on something else. Low mm-hmm. income housing. I know there's a website that people can sign up for low income housing when they build these new buildings or they restructure our old building. There's a limit to those apartments that they give. They may give like 20, you know, but then you have yes. 10,000 people applying for it. You know, yes. what do you think a good solution for that low income shortage would be?
I think that they should raise the amount of units per development. If they can right. raise that up, you know, if every developer can raise that 20% up to about 35%, that would definitely allow more affordable units
right.
to be done and to be developed. I think there's also some opportunity for some rezoning. You know, in all of the five boroughs, we have a decent amount of industrial, we have manufacturing, we have a lot of buildings that are just sitting there, you know, not doing anything. They're shells, they're raw, and there could be some investment as it relates to that to add additional housing units. But I think I haven't looked at the five-year plan in the maybe last year or so. So I'll have to take a look at that. Maybe I'll be back for part two.
Awesome.
Yes, please, please.
I love that.
I definitely appreciate it.
Yes.
I do want to go back a little bit on the housing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. We've always had this problem with redlining.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are laws and policies and regulations that are in place. So the mere fact that a real estate agent can, direct a person to, let's say I'm black, right? So they're going to direct mm-hmm. me. I want to buy a house. They're going to direct me to a black neighborhood versus something that I can afford that meets my requirements. And one of my requirements is not necessarily to live in a black neighborhood. Okay. But if I am, I am. But
right.
are you seeing those laws being enforced? Because I know they did an expose out here in Long Island where I live.
Oh, yes.
And redlining is an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The definition of redlining is, what financial and other resources are withheld from a potential customer who resides in neighborhood classified as hazardous to investment. And you're correct. That Newsday study that was done a few years ago in Long Island is something that is redlining in its purest form. It's on video. They have, you know, the black and the white and the Hispanic, and everyone was treated differently and geared to different areas. That's also steering. That is something that I absolutely do not under any circumstance do. In my business, I never have, and Lord knows my heart, I never will. So, but it is something that happens. It is something that goes on. And, you know, in all honesty, it really comes down to what people what is affordable for them, you know, and that should determine where you're going to live, what the price point that you want to be in, and not necessarily steered to be in any specific community. So it's a fair housing violation on every aspect, but unfortunately it is still being done. and what can be done about it. More people need to be called to task. I think also offices and some offices may have a specific culture of how they do business, a way, you know, and those things are illegal and they need to be addressed. And people, there are repercussions for housing and anti-discrimination and fair housing. So they are, people are being held accountable for it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah.
I know that's a very sensitive topic.
You know, it is. And even in my experience, you know, when our parents were looking for a house in Staten Island, they had to send their Caucasian friends to look at the houses for them before they can even get that. They came in on the second showing, you know.
Right.
And so it was really interesting. And that's 1970, you know, early 1970s.
Early 1970s, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Staten Island, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
came a long way.
Yes, we
have. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I know that you're an advocate, and I think Michelle touched upon this. You're an advocate for the homeless and securing permanent housing for families in need. All right. Yeah. Now, I hate to be redundant, but what are you doing about that again?
So what I love about what I do is, you know, my job in real estate is to help people find a place to live as it relates to the homeless. You know, I've worked with so many different city organizations and departments. I have families that I work with that are in the shelters. I try to help to get them into clean, affordable residences for which they can raise their families in. I put my landlords to task. I put everyone, you know, on message for advocating for people who are homeless. And there's also some misconceptions about homeless and homelessness. You know, you can become homeless from a fire. You know, you can become homeless being a victim of, you know, a crime. You can be a domestic violence situation. There's all kinds of reasons that you can really be, you know, affected and become homeless. You know, it's a lot of different reasons. And it's not just because someone gave up or didn't, you know, wants to live on the street or, you know, just want someone to take care of them. There's a lot of reasons that people become homeless. So with that, I'm in connection and in contact with a lot of different organizations, domestic violence, you name it. So it's my job, and I do that through the rentals. There's also a program that we'll be working with, and that is Section 8 to housing, where I don't know, a lot of people may not know, but Section 8, the voucher, you know, the federally funded voucher, you can purchase a house through Section 8. You can do that all through the Midwest of the country.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can actually purchase a house having a Section 8 voucher, and Section 8 pays the first 15 years of your mortgage. So that's really a win-win.
Wow. You hear that, folks? Audience, you hear that?
Yeah,
I heard that. Amazing. I heard that. Yeah.
It's true. It's accurate. Now, we need to bring that a little bit more. I know in New Jersey, a lot of people are able to get that, but it is available. It is there. Great. You have to do your research. But in terms of the homeless, once I, you know, I have long time, strong relationships with landlords, and as their vacancies are available, we lease them, we rent them.
That's awesome. Wow. Yeah, at least.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question? In some places like Seattle and I believe Texas, they're tackling their homelessness in a different way. A lot of these places are doing things with these tiny houses and these containerized houses. How do you feel about that? You know anything about that?
Not as familiar with in those particular areas, but across the nation, tiny houses are definitely a way to go. And the prefab, pre-construction homes, people are using containers. There's all types of things. Tesla, Elon Musk is just, he has a box. I think that's the name of the house that he's creating now.
Yes, it's a box. Yeah.
Yeah, the box. Modular housing is definitely the way to go in every way of development. Even the Barclays Stadium was a was a modular build. Maybe people might not know that, but it was, you know. And that just allows us in this area in New York, in areas where it's cold, we lose some time in terms of building outside because it's just freezing cold. The fact that they can manufacture these houses in factories and industrial facilities and then bring them and build them right there on site, genius. I love it. I'm still looking for more acreage, and I definitely want to have a tiny house village. As an interested, follow me, because that's where we're going. We're going to tiny house.
Absolutely interested. Yes.
Tiny house village, and then we'll name it.
Tiny house. Oh, man. Well, I grew up in a different time, you know, colonial, got to have the steps and all that kind of stuff.
Yes,
but, yeah, things have changed.
They have changed. There's some really unique stuff. And for me, it'd probably be a second home, you know, a vacation resort. But it's a great first home, too. If that's all the space you need, you know, it's up to the buyer to determine how much space that they need to be comfortable, you know.
Okay. You mentioned the Section 8, you know, what you do in terms of purchasing homes. What about just a general home buyer? You know, what resources are out there for them?
Okay. So I'm going to be speaking again regional in my area, but a lot of these things go nationwide. For first-time home buyers, there's a tremendous amount of grants that are available. There's some great resources. Down payment assistance in New York, for instance, we have through HPD, the home assistance program. And that program now is offering any first-time buyer in the New York City area up to a $100,000 grant for the purchase of their home. So that is something that is on. You know, I have multiple contracts, multiple clients who are going to be recipients of this down payment assistance. And where else can you get $100,000 towards the purchase of your house? It's a great, great program. We'll figure out how I can share these links with you all.
Yes, I was thinking of that.
I'll send a series of links for all of this that we discussed, and okay. You'll be able to share that with the audience. There's, again, down payment assistance. There's a lot of different organizations. You have Neighborhood Housing Services. They are nationwide. You also have NACA, N-A-C-A. And that is another organization that has no money down at all for your house. And all of those loans are backed by Bank of America. So it's another very strong program. There's also for people who are really, really starting out and may not even have the savings or may need that savings before they can get to the next step. There's also savings matching programs, which a lot of people do not talk about. There are a lot of different financial institutions and charitable organizations that for every dollar you spend, they will match you for $4 up to a certain amount. So up to maybe $7,500, up to $10,000. There's a lot of resources. You just have to do some legwork. I know, you know, people are they want to move quickly, but I find in my business overall with working with these grants that honestly, it really only adds maybe another 3 weeks to, you know, maybe a 65, 75 day contract process to close. So it's really something that you should definitely pursue it. I would not leave the money on the table because it is available to you.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So Walter, real quick, I just want to get some information out there right now for Dana. Mm-hmm. She's very active in the community and she's hosting on Staten Island a Women in Business Expo on March 26th. And Dana, can you give us some information about that? I would like for people, our audience and everyone out there to know that this expo will be for women. Bring your children. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. going to be at a prestigious location. Can you give our audience a little information about it?
Yes.
Promote it.
I am going to promote it right now. So actually, this is an event that is hosted primarily by Camilla M. Hanks, City Council Member, District 49. This is something that we had two different program scheduled, and it just seemed like the perfect opportunity to collaborate. And I was thrilled when Camilla called, and we narrowed this down and are starting and hosting the first Women in Business Expo in Staten Island. There has not been one, and there are countless women in business. To date, we have over 50 vendors registered for it. It is a free event. It's free for the vendors to do their tabling. We have networking. We have a DJ. We have, and it's at the most beautiful and opulent venue in Staten Island, and that is the Pavilion on the Terrace. And I'll be hosting a women's business panel that day, Women Building the Blocks Through Business. So it's going to be a full day programming in Staten Island, New York at the Pavilion on the Terrace. And that is Saturday, March 26th.
Some awesome panel women. Yes.
From 11 to 4. And the panel, yeah, we just launched the panel today, the panel flyer. So I'm just so excited. You know, what's wonderful about this is that, you know, with the founding partner for this, Camilla Hanks, she is also not only our councilwoman, but she is an entrepreneur as well. So she has been in multiple industries, multiple rooms for over 20 years. And she really is going to bless a lot of people from coming to this event. It really is something to give you.
I will
you
be
know,
there with bells on. Yes.
I know you have your table.
I got my table, girl.
Yes,
that's right.
My panel is lead women in businesses. We have Carmen Abercrombie from Sharing the Bliss. We have Keisha Weaver, who is the founder of the Pavilion on the Terrace. We have Shawnee Dixon is on my, and she is Shawnee's house premier chef. Oh my goodness, another great connection who is a friend and a client. Dana Van Dyke, and she has an early intervention and learning facility on Staten Island. So it's really, really a nice.
And don't forget Doreen.
Of course, Doreen Cugnot, CEO of the St. George Theater, of which I am a board member of as of January 20th, 22.
I'm
all so excited about that. Yes. I'm excited about that.
So, so this is going to be a phenomenal event. It's open to any borough, correct?
Just
Staten Island.
It's open to any borough to come and participate. I'm not sure where our cutoff is with vendors, but you will see that on the Eventbrite. Michelle, are you able to share this?
Yes, I'll share
information?
It.
Yeah, if you can share
I'll
the link.
Share it.
Dana, let me just point out to you and the audience that we do a broadcast, a rebroadcast of this program of our live shows. For the Monday night show is Thursday.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
We do a broadcast and it goes out to all the podcast platforms, you know, from Apple Podcasts
wonderful.
To Google Play. So within the show notes of that podcast will be all of the links that you give us.
Oh, fabulous.
And this goes out globally, but for what it's worth. You know, it goes out globally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
I just posted the link for the event, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful.
The Eventbrite link is posted, folks. Audience, you can copy and paste it if you're in the New York City area. The event is March 26th from 11 to 4 p.m. As she said, she's not sure about the vending cutoff. I know. It was at 60 from what I heard, 60 vendors. Miss Keisha told me that. But everyone is welcome. It's free, free.
Free. Free to attend, free to exhibit, you know. It's going to be, but there will be food that is for sale. You know, the Pavilion on the Terrace
of
will
course.
Be providing the food for sale. But it is really going to be a fantastic event. I'll just put a number out there for myself if anyone is interested in furthering communicating with me as it relates to real estate. I can be reached at 347-619-2997.
You don't want me to put that in the show notes, do you? Because that goes out globally. So
it's
you have people from
it's
Russia
a,
probably calling you.
Hey, we take that international money.
Hey, the international, yes, we do.
I don't know whether you want some rubles.
Rubles, I don't know that. I'm not even going to speak on it right now.
So, Dana, quick question. In reference to the expo, I know it's for women. Are they allowing men to attend as well?
Men are more than welcome to attend. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, it's Women's History Month. That's why we named it the business, you know, the Women's Business Expo.
So we need the men.
Men come out there.
Come with your wallets, folks, too.
Yeah, right. You should.
Come to get free information. It's a free event to attend, but please patronize the vendors as well, the small businesses. Yes.
Dana.
Yes.
Let me, one second, Chris, please. Just make sure that you give us an email with all those important links so that I can embed them in the show notes. Okay.
Okay.
That's where we'll capture them.
I'll get that over to you once we're done. Just a couple of points and clicks. Absolutely. I'll have it over to you.
Okay. Chris, you had something? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just wanted to piggyback on something she said earlier about NACA. Back in 2008, when the financial crisis hit, I was one of the people in a mortgage that I had a lot of difficulty with. You know, my wife lost her employment. It was a tough time. Mm-hmm. And NACA was a very good resource. They helped us a lot. They not only get you, they could get you refinanced or rework your mortgage, but they get fixed rates that are really, really low.
Yes.
And they were a very good resource. But I do have a question about all the resources that are out there. What about the folks from our community who don't have the greatest credit scores and things of that nature?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something out there somewhere where they could work with them in that capacity?
Yeah, absolutely. Once you call any of the organizations, I'll just use Neighborhood Housing Services, NHS, as an example. They help you get through the whole entire process prior to you, registering in this, what they have is their Star Briar program. You can register for the free classes because the education is a requirement, is a HUD requirement. You have to have 4 hours of education from a housing counselor, which they are. So you'll take a 4-hour course. You will get a certificate. They will also call you into the office and you will start, you know, what is calling you'll start the credit worthiness process. And from that point, if you're not able at that point to qualify for a mortgage, they send you to, credit repair and consultation companies that are also very, very low charge. You may pay $50 to $100 for the entire process, not something that you have to pay on a monthly basis. Those things are available. You know, there's a lot of different things. There's apps that you can use to really help bring your credit score up. I know a lot of people have used a lot of different ways, but definitely through the community-based organizations, you can get that.
Absolutely. I was talking to a friend of mine who live in Jersey City, and they had to move recently.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of money that they had to come up with for 1 month's rent or 2 months rent, 1 month's security, it was over $12,000 to rent a place. And I was trying to explain to them that, and this is like the third time they've moved in probably the last 8 years. So I said, you keep coming up with those kind of those fees, that's a down payment on a home. And I was trying to get them to understand. It was like, our credit, you know, I said, well, you got to work on that. But giving away $12,000 to rent an apartment.
Yes.
It's a lot of money. I'm just trying to get people to grasp the concept of ownership, because you don't own that. And you gave up a lot of money just to be there for a certain amount of time. And you don't get that back. You get some of it back, but not all of it.
Right. Yeah, you get the space, you get the use of the property, but you don't get that money back. I know that there was some discussion about being able to, I think there's some entities, I haven't really worked on that yet, that you can, that will give you credit for your, or give you credit on your credit report for your housing expenses as it relates to rent. So there may be some credits coming down the line, but there are some companies that use that and evaluate it for credit worthiness. So that's another way that people are able to do that. But you have to work on your credit. The credit it's fixable. You know, it's a few phone calls, it's some letters, it's, you know, a little bit of work, but you can clearly do it. You can look for certain templates, letters that you want to send. You want the credit agencies to also prove that is your debt. You know, there's a lot of different ways. You just have to take the time. But what I love now is that technology is so great that you can really get on apps and they can guide you through the entire Credit Karma. I'm not giving an ad, but they are very good in terms of showing you how to navigate and increase your credit.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
All right, I got another question for you. I know we're pushing against the clock here, getting mm-hmm. near an hour. But do you think we are in a housing boom, or you just think they will continue to rise?
A housing boom, meaning
similar to what we went through that triggered the Great Recession back in 2007, 2008, 2009.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that we're triggering that. You know, what's happened is COVID has happened, and that has slowed down manufacturing and building considerably. You know, the high impact of the materials, you know, the materials have gone up 2-3 times over. So there's a lot of issues with it. But I would say that we right now at this point, we really lack inventory more than anything. We're about like 1.3 million properties off of what we would normally have in the supply. So the supply is very, very low. That's why the demand is extremely high. But no, I don't see this being a crash of what we had last time. No.
Okay. And the reason I asked that question,
the difference is now, because back then those mortgages weren't backed.
Correct.
You know, they were a lot of bad mortgages. That's what kind of triggered that.
Right.
So I don't see the same thing.
Yeah. They were just changing paper.
So you don't see the predatory. You don't see the predatory lenders out there. I think, and these tranches of secured mortgage. What do you call them? CDOs, collateral debt obligations, things of that nature that were based off of these mortgages. So that's not out there now. So that's a non-issue.
Well, right? You know, anything can be an issue. I'm not, you know, an economist on this, but in terms of what I see, I don't think that's our issue. I think it's our lack of inventory and us being 1.3 million houses in default, in a deficit.
Okay. So mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. All right. So I got one last question for you.
We've
gone over the clock a little bit.
I see.
All right.
Yeah, it goes quick.
She
got to come back, Walt. She got to come back.
Yeah. No doubt.
Bring her back. Bring her back.
Yeah, bring her back. Bring her back. Absolutely. I see that you are a choreographer, performer, video model, fashion producer, et cetera, along with you being a real estate agent. If you could go back, would you change your trajectory? Is there anything you would prefer doing other than what you're doing now?
No, not at all. I believe that, you know, I was truly blessed to have learned how to dance and be a performing artist. And I traveled the world. I believe that I am exactly where God intended me to be. I love what I do in every capacity as it relates to people and home ownerships. Relationships, there's really nothing I would change, honestly. It really allowed me to see the world in a pure kind of form. You know, at that point, it's, we're with the celebrities. So you see it from the stage side. I've stood in front of a 10,000 person, 20,000 person audience. So that's just prepared me to, move with a level of confidence, understanding, and humility to be of service.
All right. Great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Chris, any final words? I want to close down the show now because I know you got things to do and places to go. Michelle?
Well, it was a wonderful show. Looking forward to her coming back because I just want to pick her brain, you know, really. And it's a beautiful thing. Like we just want to help people. You know, we want to help our community and, mm-hmm. and people in your position. A great asset to really give back and to just give out. You know, the biggest thing lacking in our community is information. People mm-hmm. just don't know. And if, you know, it's put in front of them, they can really help themselves. So beautiful show. Thank you.
All right. Yes. So I'm going to turn it over to Michelle, but let me just thank Dana. Dana, we are looking to have you back. Okay.
Thank you.
And this show will be, as I said, pushed out to the podcast platforms. So wherever you get your podcast, wherever you get your podcast, you'll be able to find the show Thursday after 4 p.m.
That is wonderful.
Thank you, Walter. And thank you, Dana. I just want to personally thank you for coming on. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me into your world. I appreciate your invitations. And everything is always positive. She's always sharing information. She's a wonderful person. I'm getting to know her, and I love her already. So I appreciate you and everything that you do in the community and for your family as well.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. This
You're
has been
welcome.
A wonderful honor. I'm so grateful. And I've got to shout out my
Yeah,
my
shout
guys.
Your people out.
I got to shout out my husband, Willie, my sons, Jordan and Brandon, my fur babies, all of my family and friends, the people who are listening, the people who hold me up. You know, life is very interesting, but it's so worth living. And I'm just grateful. The opportunity. Yeah. Thank you.
That's right. And if you want to see her in person and meet her in person, make sure you come to the Women's Expo on March 26th. I put the information there. We will put it in the show notes as well. So if you're entrepreneurs or you're interested in the Women's Business Association as well, there'll be a panel of women giving variety of information to you. So it's free. Thank you, everyone, for joining the Walt Weekly Monday Night Live with our host, Walter Latham Sr., co-host Michelle Sweeney McCombs, our panel member, Christopher Sweeney. We thank our live audience for participating. Please join us next Monday as we continue to celebrate Women's History Month with Eartha Hicks, author and a Harlem poet. She'll be joining us next week on Monday. Please follow us at www.thewaltweekly.com for our updates and Walt's Corner, his weekly blog. You can find us on IG and Facebook at The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, Podbeam, The Walt Weekly, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and other streaming platforms wherever you listen to your live podcast. We thank you all for joining us. Be safe. Have an awesome week.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Good night. Thank you.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.
Good night.